What about your feelings of what a garden railway per se should be or should not be?
I think a garden railway as a railway and not as an instance of model engineering. Now that must be whatever the owner desired it to be. There must be an infinite variety of garden railways. Because, of course, there's an infinite variety of gardens. Some people have spacious gardens. Some people have little tiny patches at the back of their house. And some people have flat gardens, and some people have sloping gardens. And some people have a lot of money to spend, and some people have practically no money to spend.
Do you think there's more variety in garden railways than in indoor railways?
There must be. I'm convinced of it. Because the garden railwayman, although increasingly catered for by the trade, is still very much thrown onto his own resources. And therefore the garden railway he creates will be his. It will not be an assembly of proprietary parts.
That's good. In America, we're still relying primarily on LGB and Kalamazoo to supply us our trains and track. And we don't get that tremendous variety that you do here.
I think that could be because LGB is essentially a put-together-and-take-apart toy. Although very elaborate, it is designed in the spirit of the good old railway toy with put together rails. We put it down for the afternoon, we have great fun, and at bedtime the children have to pack it away, or the parents pack it away for them after they've gone to bed, and it can come out again next time. And we can have it indoors if it rains, and take it outside if it's fine. And don't think I'm knocking LGB at all. I think it's splendid stuff. I have LGB stock running on my railway. But that is the orientation of LGB. And if one becomes dependent on that, then one is dependent on a type of railway which is certainly not, in my view, in the true the main line of evolution in garden railway building. Garden railway building, as I see it, starts with a garden spade and a spirit level and some ideas of landscaping and railroad building in the owner's, the designer's mind. You've got to be a young Huntington or Brunel or Stevenson to do a garden railway, I think. Yes, you're the poor man's Huntington. You go out there and you put your railway, you take it there, and you're not just clipping bits together and laying them down temporarily. You're going to make something. There's an integration of railway and a garden, landscaping. Yeah.
What do you think could be done to draw people away from this LGB concept more into a more pure garden railway concept?
Education. Well, I think you're doing a great deal in that respect, Mark, with your magazine. You are educating people, I've noticed. You send me a copy regularly, and I've noticed the increasing sophistication. In fact, I would dispute with you that modern garden railwaymen in the States are so completely dependent on proprietary stock. This may be the case with engines. Yes, I haven't seen a great deal of evidence of miniature model, of really small-scale model engineering with steam locomotives, but certainly with line-side structures, with cars, every issue displays ingenuity and inventiveness in those fields to an equal or greater extent than we see with the 16 mill association over here.
I think, though, that those people who are doing that are very much in the minority in the U.S.
I would say that in every human activity, whatever it may be, the truly inventive are in a minority, and the, the copyists, not exactly copyists, but the followers are in the great majority, and this is human nature. I do not believe that the human is really so inventive and creative as we sometimes like to think he is, that a few, everyone perhaps from time to time gets an original idea, and the rest of us then quickly see the merits of it and latch on to it. Now, yes, one mustn't say that a few are creative and the majority are copyists. Let's say we're all copyists and the original ideas keep cropping up and then we latch on to them. And this must certainly be true in Gardner. It's certainly true for me. I read it, the Eliph Stokes and Nicholas Bach, and they inspired me, and then I went on and did my little thing. And I've written about it in magazines, and other people have copied what I've done. And then we went yesterday to a meeting, and I saw engines which I thought I would like to copy again, and so the ball keeps rolling. Somebody will come up with a new idea, and the rest of us will latch on to it. And I think that in your magazine, a sufficiency of new ideas is coming up to get that ball rolling. And of course, it rolls at an increasing rate. Of course, the next thing we say from that is that it rolls out of control, or faster and faster and faster, or something like that. Well, that sounds but the ball does begin to roll. It's like a snowball, shall we say. It gets bigger.
Well, where do you think Garden Railways will be in 10 years?
I think that we will begin to see some very sophisticated ones where horticulture and landscaping are taken to degrees which today are wholly exceptional, but in 10 years' time will be regarded as normal. Remember, we visited...
Last night?
Last night.
Colin Wright.
Colin, yeah. That's right. We visited Colin.
I was thinking of his. He seems to have everything planned down to the last inch.
Indeed. But one would never have seen such a railway 5 years ago. Then there's Graham Lamb's in Salisbury. His garden on a slope. Two spirals, possibly three spirals in it, to a terminus much higher up. That was unprecedented. I thought that I had been inventive when I built mine, but Graham's was way out beyond that. And I'm sure that this is happening all the time. People send me photographs of their garden railways. They make my border county seem an absolute hip line. And yet mine was regarded as quite sophisticated in the early 70s. Evolution is said to be irreversible, and all hobbies are subject to evolutionary principle, then we can expect more. We can expect the thing to get richer and richer, as it were, and to be enriched as more sophisticated. In fact, having seen these developed lines over the past few weeks, I find myself contemplating a reorganization of my own line. When it can take place, I don't quite know. But there we are. I've been inspired. The seed has been sown, so to speak. And so it will go on. We see somebody else doing something desirable and we want to do it ourselves.
It's been a pleasure talking to you.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, Mark.
Thank you.
One final plea. My own passion, my own central interest is in miniature boiler design. And I did consider at yesterday's meeting that some of the more elaborate engines were rather dependent on commercial proprietary parts which themselves were essentially steam type parts.
You're talking about piston valve cylinders,
yes,
and gas,
yes,
boilers?
Yes,
and
the German toy cylinders.
Yes.
Which is an excellent unit. Don't think I'm knocking it. But it has limitations as to life and performance. And one would like to see steam engineering more dependent on full-size practice rather than on toy practice in these tiny scales. In other words, the principles on which our passenger hauling enthusiasts work should be a pleasure brought down to our scale. I think it could be done. Next thing, of course, is miniature drain cocks on 7mm scale engines, or even on 8O scale engines, micro engineering, who knows, anything could go like that, and it would be very interesting.